powered by you.
Hello, hello.
Listener supported.
This is the Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive. Answer the call. It's Thursday, August 18th. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and our producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America. It's good to be with you as we continue as the Pledge Drive rolls on day four of our Relevant Radio Answer the Call Summer Pledge Drive. Thank you. Thank you so much for all your support, especially this past hour here this morning. Thank you for answering the call, all you early birds. We continue to need your help to reach our goal of $3 million by tomorrow afternoon, Friday at 5 p.m. Central. The clock is ticking. We're a little over 48% of our goal with only today and tomorrow to go. So really, it really is crunch time. This is it right now. It's the moment of truth. We need your help. We need more gifts here this hour. We're looking for 100 gifts. We can absolutely do it. If you believe in the mission of Relevant Radio. Relevant Radio has inspired, has motivated you, has educated you to pray more, to go to confession, to go to Mass, to come closer to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Blessed Mother Mary, then please open your heart and answer the call this hour at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, or you can give us a call this morning, 877-291-0123. Do it this morning in honor of our Blessed Mother, in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And of course, we always begin every hour, especially here during the Pledge Drive, with the Memorare, the powerful Memorare prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, to help us with our Pledge Drive and for an end to abortion in our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We always, always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to bring in our team, Glenn and Sarah. It's crunch time during this pledge drive. And first of all, I want to say happy anniversary to my partner, Glenn. Glenn, can you believe it? 19 years today with Relevant Radio.
Oh, man, 19 years. It's been a long time. It's been great to see Relevant Radio grow so much over the years. Starting back in 2003, I started a couple of months after Morning Air got going, and we were building up the network like crazy in terms of people as well as stations we had. I think 13 stations. Most of Wisconsin was covered, plus Chicago and the Twin Cities. And my, oh, my, to see it grow to over 200 stations around the country now and around the world at relevantradio.com. We didn't have streaming audio back in the day either, and the audience and even the amount that we raised on the pledge drive going from under $1 million to $3 million now. My goodness, it's been great to see that growth and God's hand in the development over the years of Relevant Radio, and to see so many great folks come and go and come and stay with Relevant Radio. And I think I'm like number five on the seniority list of all the employees, and been around continuously longer than any voice on the air. But my goodness, thanks to the Lord and the world's greatest listeners for allowing that to happen, John.
And Glenn, that means
happy
that you... Yes, happy anniversary. Absolutely. That means you've been a part of a lot of pledge drives. I think you said it was around 75?
I don't, you know, we didn't do them that first year, I think, or that many of them, but it might be around 75 pledge drives in 19 years, normally four a year. And so it's been quite a few, and great to see that growth. I remember that first time we hit a million, I was on with Drew in the afternoon. It was quite an amazing celebration because we'd been struggling that year. I think it was the early years of that recession in the late 2000s. And my goodness, our goal at the time, $800,000, and we hit a million. And then we've kept going ever since, and now that need at 3 million. That's just amazing. So it's great to see how the response has increased over time, John.
And Sarah, you're not far behind.
Yeah, no, I've been here for quite some time too. And you know what, Glenn, I you know, second everything you've been saying, because I think, you know, that the number just kept getting up, up, up. And you're like, how are we going to do this? But you know what? We started going to Mary with the Memorarium. We started going to Joseph at the Shrine, at the Oratory. And ever since those times when we started giving, you know, going more towards God and saying, God, you've got this. If you want this, you know, you're going to take over. And he has. So we know we must be doing something right, keeping God at the center.
Absolutely. And I think that really does sum it up. We keep Jesus, Mary, and Joseph on our hearts, and we can't go wrong. As always, thanks so much, Sarah, and congratulations, my buddy Glenn.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 17:3. Jesus the Lord says, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what it's all about, knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved than the holy and the sacred name of Jesus. And we always pray with great confidence. That prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet that you hear every afternoon with Drew Mariani, Jesus, I trust in you. A number if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, cheered by a decisive win for abortion rights in a Kansas vote and eyeing November midterm elections, the White House is launching a push for abortion access that aims to influence men as well as women. Joining us live is our regular contributor, Mary Helen Fiorito, for a legal and a pro-life perspective on the new Biden administration abortion rights push. Mary's an attorney, public speaker, and commentator on issues involving Catholic Church teachings, administration, and religious freedom. She holds the position of the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us, especially here right smack in the middle of crunch time in our Answer the Call pledge drive.
Well, good morning, John, and it's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners, and I'm really excited to hear about the pledge drive again. I mean, think of what this entire coverage of the Roe versus Wade overturn would have been like without relevant radio. I can't even imagine it.
Oh, my goodness. That has been so much on my mind. I really do believe that that is what makes us so special as a Catholic radio network, bringing that unique perspective about the culture of life, especially after Roe v. Wade was overturned. What do you think that this platform means for the issue of life or the issue of the family, traditional values, and why should our listeners answer the call and continue to support this mission of Relevant Radio?
Well, you know, a couple of things I was just sort of ruminating on this morning is that I was listening before I came on. Just, you know, I remember when Father Rocky started the Million Memorari campaign to end abortion. And I remember he had, you know, I'd seen him personally, and he was telling me about this new plan he had to do these, you know, million memoraries at a time to end abortion. And he said to me with complete confidence, you know, that's really going to move the needle. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, that's nice, Father. You know, I mean, we've been doing this for almost 50 years. I mean, I wasn't mocking him. Of course, I believe in the power of prayer. But, you know, to me, that just seemed like it was decades in the future. And sure enough, you know, that would have been right around the time Mississippi started to draft up that law that passed and then eventually was challenged and went up to the Supreme Court and overturned Roe. And I am convicted that that memorari campaign was a big part of it. I mean, that millions and millions of memorari said for that specific intentions by all of your listeners, Father was absolutely right. It did move the needle. And now we have seen the end of Roe versus Wade, something we'd never thought we'd seen in our lifetime. I don't think it would have happened without Relevant Radio.
Mary, would you believe the number is up to nearly 475 million memoraries that we've been praying to end abortion? Can you believe
it? I mean, I remember I thought a million was going to be a lot. That's crazy. I mean, think of that. Just think of that. You know, we know collective prayer And the encouragement that collective prayer gives to others, right, as well as to ourselves, I mean, it's amazing. And again, this wouldn't have happened, I'm convinced, without Relevant Radio, not only just the prayer, the communal prayer, but also the truthful and accurate reporting about what abortion is and about what was actually going on with the overturn of Roe, what that meant legally for the country. I mean, so much biased reporting out there and, frankly, lies that were being circulated, and Relevant Radio has presented it truthfully, which is so important because I think, you know, in a day when we're calling women birthing people, you know, you don't know where to go for accurate reporting on such a delicate and significant topic.
Absolutely. Well, we want to update the folks on what's going on with our administration, with the White House in this post-Roe America. But first, we need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Catholic attorney Mary Helen Fiorito. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side of the break after this word from our very own Father Rocky.
I just can't get enough of this beautiful life. I just can't get enough.
This is Morning Air,
your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Thanks so much for being with us this morning as we are continuing our conversation with our good friend, Catholic attorney, pro-life attorney, Mary Helen Fiorito, longtime contributor to this show. Mary, talk to us about President Biden's new litigation strategy.
Well, this was a story, John, actually, that was broken by the international news agency Reuters the day before yesterday, where they got someone who was on this call of pro-abortion leaders that the White House convened to discuss their new litigation strategy, but also a new communications strategy that they have devised around the issue of abortion. They feel very energized by what they perceive as something reflective of the nation as a whole, which was the defeat of a pro-life bill in Kansas. And they're taking that and they're extrapolating that onto the rest of the country, hoping to gain momentum from that. And so, it really shows you that this administration is going to completely double down on abortion. I didn't think there could possibly be an administration and a president more committed to abortion than Bill Clinton was, and Joe Biden has completely outdone him. And so, you know, we see from this a couple of things. First of all, I really don't think that anyone with a straight face can now say this is a president who is personally opposed to abortion but simply wants to respect the law. That is clearly not the position of Joe Biden or his administration, because they are doing everything within their power, using federal statutes, using federal agencies, not only to subvert what the individual people of the states want, but also to try to compel people of conscience, and particularly in the medical arena, into performing abortions or referring for them against their consciences and their faith. So they have devised this strategy, according to Reuters, who spoke to somebody on the call on the condition of anonymity, that is going to target not only women, who they see as kind of key to big wins at the midterms, which are coming up, but also a strategy devised at how abortion being illegal will impact men. Now, we know, if you go back, John, and look at surveys that were done even around the time that Roe was decided, the University of Michigan did one where they found at the time that men were much more likely to want women to be able to access abortion than women wanted to be able to access it themselves. And they also found that the wealthier a man was, and whether or not that man was not a person of color, so white men who made over a certain amount of money, they were the most pro-abortion. They were the most likely to want abortion to be legal for, a vast array of circumstances, which is not where, most American women are, frankly. And so we have seen sort of a male irresponsibility rise up from that. And, according to the article in Reuters, that the consistent messaging plan that they're calling it, that they want every American and what they call everyday Americans to understand, is that they want not only men to think about sisters and their wives and their cousins and their daughters, et cetera, et cetera. But they also want to target men with a message, and I'm quoting here directly from the article, that will make them think about the costs related to supporting an unplanned pregnancy. So, I mean, notice the wording, first of all. They're referring to the child as an unplanned pregnancy. They also use the words forced pregnancy and government-mandated child within this. So the way they're really dehumanizing the unborn child. But, you know, and again, a way to encourage men not to take responsibility for the child that they have fathered and make them think about how much this is going to cost them, you know, presumably in paternity costs, if this baby is born. I mean, is this the kind of, you know, man that we want to encourage in the United States? I mean, what about taking responsibility? What about protecting your own child? What about caring for and supporting your child? The White House is giving this very, you know, juvenile, puerile, you know, message in opposition to that. I just think it's appalling. And I think, frankly, women should be appalled that this is the kind of message that our White House, that our president and his administration want to send to American men.
Mary, it is shocking. It so sounds like the administration is out of touch with most of the American people. Even pro-choice people are not as extremist as what the Biden White House is planning to do. What specific federal statutes are they leaning on?
Well, they're going to be using a preemptive law that's in the Federal Drug Administration's policies, and that's going to target particularly the chemical abortions. So we know now about half of the abortions done in the United States are done using a combination of drugs. They are sometimes called the abortion pill. They're used safely up until about 10 weeks of pregnancy. But as we've discussed on this show, they can also be used afterwards, after 10 weeks, but it becomes much more dangerous for the mom at that point, and so they're certainly not recommended at that point. So they're looking for this FDA preemption statute in order to work around the states that have banned abortions after a certain point in pregnancy, particularly the six-week bans, the heartbeat bills, as they're called, because the abortion pills can be used after 6 weeks, you know, safely up until 10 weeks. They want to try to work around those laws by saying that the FDA has already approved this drug and therefore states you can't ban its use at any time in pregnancy. So that's one angle that they're going after. The second is something called the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. EMTALA is its acronym. And what that law, which is a pre-existed, you know, the Dobbs decision, that law demands that hospitals treat a woman who is in active labor, no matter what her insurance status is or what her, you know, whether or not she's on Medicaid. If you show up at a hospital and you are in active labor, a hospital cannot turn you away. They must treat you and they must care for you, which is a very good law, right? You don't want someone who's in active labor being turned away for medical care at a moment when they absolutely need it. But they're going to use it. Of course, you know, this is abortion's logic, right? It always just twists something that's meant to be good and makes it, you know, makes it so it's bad, and exactly the opposite of what the law intended. But they're going to make sure that hospitals who are doing that, so if you arrive and you're pregnant, that provision includes providing a woman with an abortion if her actual life is in danger, and they're going to try to expand that to force hospitals under this provision to treat any woman who's coming with an abortion if she's showing any kind of, you know, distress or complication from a mild one to a very serious one. So it's really insidious. It takes a law that was meant to help women and unborn children, and it flips it on its head, you know, to force these hospitals to perform abortions on unborn children they would likely have worked to save.
Mary, they're trying to replicate the success in Kansas in the upcoming races. How should Catholics respond to this false propaganda? We have about 30 seconds.
Well, first of all, listen to Relevant Radio if you want to know the truth about what's really going on, and listen carefully to what those messages say. You know, we know, John, there is a lot of consensus out there about abortion. There truly is. I mean, most Americans, you know, as a whole, would limit it to about 12 weeks, if not less, and even then with some very specific, you know, circumstances around it. So understand that most Americans do not want abortions for all 9 months and for any reason, and really try to look into what it is that the law that is being proposed by the White House is actually going to do.
As always, Mary, it's been a joy. Thank you so much for your perspective. I so much appreciate it.
Oh, God bless you, John. Have a great weekend. Great to be with you.
Many blessings to you. Catholic attorney Mary Helen Fiorito. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Licensed psychologist and exorcist Monsignor Stephen Rossetti will be with us to talk about spiritual warfare and abortion.
You're vital to our mission to bring Christ
to the world through the media.
The Relevant Radio Summer Pledge Drive continues.
Answer the call.
Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on day four of our Answer the Call Summer Pledge Drive. Thank you so much to all you early birds who have stepped up to the plate and answered the call to support the mission of Relevant Radio. We continue to need your help. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, the unseen spiritual battle of abortion is real. Today, we are experiencing a spiritual battle in our nation, especially with the big battle of abortion. All you have to do is see the over-the-top reaction from the abortion industry and abortionists and abortion extremists and the mainstream media after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which was responsible for the deaths of over 63 million unborn children. According to the Catholic News Agency, at least 76 churches and pro-life organizations have been the targets of arson and vandalism since May, when news leaked out about the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. These attacks are further evidence of this spiritual battle that we're in between the culture of life and the culture of death, as St. John Paul II used to call it. Joining us now is a friend of Morning Air, an exorcist, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, to discuss spiritual warfare and the battle with abortion. Monsignor Rossetti is a licensed psychologist. He's the chaplain of the Washington Nationals of Major League Baseball and also the author of Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. Good morning, Monsignor Rossetti. Thanks so much for joining us. It is great to be with you once again right here in crunch time. We are down the stretch of our Answer the Call Pledge Drive.
Good morning, John. It's great to be with you and my friends at Relevant Radio.
Monsignor, first of all, before we talk about spiritual warfare, why should our listeners support the mission of Relevant Radio, bringing Christ to the world through the media of promoting the culture of life?
Well, John, there are many wonderful reasons. First of all, let me say that I'm a supporter of Relevant Radio, and I personally support this drive and am doing so. So I think that... I'd like to say personally, I appreciate Relevant Radio and all that you do. There are so many other cacophonous voices out there, voices that are somewhat shrill, sometimes violent, and judgmental and non-Christian. So and I think it wears the spirit down, you know, kind of wears you down, and it kind of disquiets you and doesn't help you. So when we listen to holy things from a good Catholic perspective, it gives us a sense of peace. It builds up that peace inside us. It encourages us. Like one of your listeners said earlier about he was suffering from depression. I think when we take in holy things, it helps to heal us.
No question about it. And I so much appreciate your support and your many contributions to this program and to Relevant Radio in general. Monsignor, we know the ultimate war has been won through the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we're still in a daily battle against the forces of evil, against Satan himself and the forces of darkness. How is the evil one presenting himself and attacking us in our current age, in this day and age, especially through abortion?
Well, as you mentioned, one of the things that's very disturbing is just the outright attacks against the Catholic Church. One thing you learn as an exorcist is that Satan hates the Catholic Church and will do everything he can to destroy it. Why? Because it's the church that Jesus founded, and it is a beacon of light in a dark world. And so he needs to snuff that out for his kingdom. And, of course, he can't. For example, in my own hometown in D.C., right down the street, we had a statue of St. Anthony, which is toppled over, and they smashed the head and stole it. You know, when I was a kid, those things didn't happen. We just see more and more signs of violence against and rejection of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, it is unbelievable when you think of what's just happened just in the last few months with churches being attacked, burning down, just the vile things that we have seen. We've seen it in person. We've also seen it on social media where some of the folks went absolutely berserk after Roe v. Wade was overturned. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this vile, over-the-top reaction of the pro-abortion extremists is just a further indication of demonic influence or perhaps even at times a demonic possession, the way they're reacting?
Well, one of the signs of a satanic presence is indeed sort of a shrill violence and rage, regardless of where you see it, this sort of a violent rage. And when you're doing an exorcism, for example, when you're praying over a person when the demons manifest, that's what you see. You see the look comes over their face, and it's a look of rage and violence. You know, if the demons were not controlled or on a short leash by our Lord, they'd rip you to shreds if they could. So they're murderous, and that is always. It's not the Lord. The Lord, even on the cross, the Lord loved them and forgave them. So. What a difference. What a difference of perspective.
Yeah, my wife, Cindy, who actually engages oftentimes, with some pro-choice folks, she said that the reaction after Roe was overturned it became so vile that you can't even deal with these people. They're just insane. It was like they were possessed in favor of abortion.
Yeah. No, it's Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." What a wonderful and important gift. When we don't have that gift of Christ, His peace, our lives are just a disaster. I mean, that foundation of inner peace. I think people who are listening to this show will recognize that in their own lives. What a gift that is when the Lord gives us His peace in our hearts, and we can live our lives with the Lord.
One of the things that I discovered in preparing to talk to you, Monsignor, is that there's a group of a national group of Satanists that has been putting their cards on the table. They're opposing these abortion restrictions and adamantly defending abortion as a worship of their God. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Yeah. What's your take?
Well, it's interesting, you know, I went to the Holy Land. I was blessed to go to the Holy Land a few times. And you know, Jesus, there was a place outside in Jesus' day, outside of Jerusalem, called the Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna. And it was a burning dump, but also a place where it was thought that child sacrifice took place to the god Baal or Moloch. And so Jesus sort of said, he defined, if you will, or named hell as Gehenna. So this child sacrifice to Baal or Moloch, the demons, is clearly a sign of hell.
Well, our beloved Pope St. John Paul II taught in his words, Jesus himself has shown us by his own example that prayer and fasting are the first and the most effective weapons against the forces of evil. The Holy Father understands the power of prayer and fasting. Real briefly before we go to break, your thoughts?
Well, definitely. I mean, whenever our Blessed Mother shows up, she always says, pray, 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 and pray the rosary. I mean, we pray the rosary every day. It's a powerful, powerful tool that the Blessed Mother uses. So follow her advice. Pray, pray, pray.
Absolutely. If you have a question about spiritual warfare and the issue of abortion, we're taking your calls from Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, licensed psychologist, the author of Diary of an American Exorcist, at 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Monsignor Rossetti. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this miracle moment.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio Miracle Moment.
Hey, Valerie, how you doing?
I just wanted to thank you for your awesome broadcast.
The Faith Explained and the Cale Clark Show.
my 20-year-old daughter and I have been listening for the last couple months to Relevant Radio, and it has really been a tipping point for each of us to make a choice to convert from Mormonism.
Oh, wow.
And the series on the Mormon Church, that really, it's just been answering prayers. And we've been going to Mass. I'm learning how to pray the rosary. We start our RCIA classes in about a month. I'm almost 60 years old, and this is, I feel like I'm restarting my spiritual walk.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Help us create more miracle moments with a tax-deductible donation to Relevant Radio. Tap the Relevant Radio app or give online at relevantradio.com. This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us this morning. We are continuing our conversation, our fascinating conversation about spiritual warfare and the battle with abortion with Morning Air contributor Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, who's a licensed psychologist. He's the chief exorcist of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., and the head of the St. Michael Center for Spiritual Renewal. Monsignor, we were talking about the power of prayer and fasting as St. John Paul II reminded us, something that we've also seen with our good friends at 40 Days for Life, just through prayer and fasting. 40 Days for Life has saved 22,000 babies over the years. Just a tremendous testament to this spiritual battle and the power of prayer and fasting.
Yes, and we see it in an exorcism, for example. You know, you see that anything holy like these prayers or sacramentals, you know, holy water, crucifixes, statues of Our Lady, torment the evil one and have a real power. It becomes from the church. The power of sacramentals comes from the authority that Christ gave to his church. And so there's a real power there. And we should not underestimate the importance of prayer. We say, oh, I'm just praying. No, it's how powerful it is. Why? It's not because of me. It's because of the power of Jesus. And when we invoke his power, that's when great miracles happen.
No question. I see the interesting, comparison between what was going on at the times of the ancient Aztecs who did human sacrifices and what we see today in the abortion industry.
Well, as I said earlier, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And so one sign of Satan's presence is sort of unnatural deaths, and we always watch out for those. You know, when you go to a house, for example, that's infested with the demonic, you look at the history of the house, and oftentimes you'll, for example, one house we were involved with is there was a drug house, and there was a violent shootout, several people died. And shortly thereafter, there's a huge demonic presence. So whenever life is taken unnaturally and immorally, it's an invitation to the evil one. And we find this, for example, when people who are possessed, we look in their past, and is there this kind of taking of life immorally? And that's a clear open door to the evil one.
And then, Monsignor, those Aztec sacrifices of babies, it came to an end with the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, a pregnant Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the unborn. How does our Blessed Mother intercede for us against this evil, the evil of abortion?
Well, as a matter of fact, for example, we were doing an exorcism over a young woman who had some of this in her past, unfortunately, and every time we invoked Our Lady of Guadalupe, there was a huge demonic reaction. She was a very powerful intercessor for this woman who had quite a bit of a history of unchaste living and some unnatural deaths. So, and abortions, sadly. So you see the power of Our Lady of under our title of Our Lady of Guadalupe and that sign of the mother of the unborn. And we think of Our Lady of Guadalupe because of that image. And the tilma as a mother of the unborn.
Well, Monsignor, I always appreciate your perspective. There's no doubt that we are in a battle as Catholics and other Christians, people of faith. We need to put on the full armor of God. I appreciate you being with us here this morning to talk about this issue of abortion and spiritual warfare. Thanks so much, Monsignor.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And just always remember, we trust in Jesus. Jesus has won the battle.
Absolutely. Amen. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, the licensed psychologist and author of Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against the Ancient Evil. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Yesterday, you know, is the anniversary of my late dad's birthday, born in 1918, but 104 if he was still around. But here's a story I came across, not my words, but a great story nonetheless here. It's called Last Words from My Dad. My dad died in November. He was an ER doc, a Stephen minister, a street art graffiti artist, a college professor, a cancer researcher, a beekeeper, a cookbook author, former U.S. Marine, a book club leader, a community organizer. And even though he could afford a new car, he drove an old 1992 five-speed Honda with over 200,000 miles on it just because he liked it. He was the father of five, including two sets of twins. He loved chaos and craziness, and he thrived on it. Dad was diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer in 2008. He was given 2 years to live, just one day before our home was ruined by Hurricane Ike, and he lived for 10 years beyond his diagnosis. He loved working with the other cancer patients and made an entire library in his office of humorous reading materials and DVDs, and was always on the lookout for the butter rum flavored lifesavers because he thought they were soothing to the throat. Spent a week living in the hospital during Hurricane Harvey so the staff whose homes had flooded did not have to come in. He gave up his food so patients could be fed when high water cut off their food supply. Said it was the most interesting thing he'd ever been part of. To others, he was a doctor, a neighbor, or just a guy. To me, he was a larger-than-life role model, easily the funniest person I ever met, and fiercely protective of those he loved. A couple days before he died, he told us it was time to go to hospice care, where he died 3 days later. And he left me this message, telling me to share it with all the people that I met. Please don't send flowers or be sad for me. I had a great life. Instead, give yourself the gift of having joy in life. Have a steak or a couple of great tacos and a beer. Fly a kite with your child or run with a family dog. Forgive someone or yourself for actions that happened in the past and move on with purpose. Connect with a childhood friend. Tell a teacher how much they meant to you. Live your life in love without fear of being hurt and laugh every chance you get. Look for the good. Donate your time with a cause you find important or just look within to make things better inside your heart. Don't waste time, folks. The number one complaint I see in medicine is not disease, it's loneliness. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that you have time to spare. Get out of the house. Put down the phone. Don't worry about likes and replace that with people you love. Do more and worry less. If you want to remember me well, do one kind thing today, whether it's a smile for a stranger, having a bit of patience for someone struggling with their day, or helping a neighbor. I'll be watching. Remember, I love you and always will. There's not a thing that you can do to change that. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Watch carefully then how you live. Not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Want to remind our listeners to honor our Blessed Mother Mary in this month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Pray the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Stay with us. There's much more of the Relevant Radio Answer the Call Summer Pledge Drive in a moment. We continue to need your help. Please answer the call. The Patrick Madrid Show will be coming up at the top of the hour, so stay with us.